You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Auckland Council's annual plan is currently in consultation, open until Sunday, 29th of March. The plan focuses on two key areas for Auckland Council: public transport and water infrastructure. The public transport element is particularly focused on the opening of the City Rail Link, which Council says will massively boost public transport capacity and connectivity across Auckland. The operational costs of the CRL, among other reasons, will contribute to an 8% rates increase for the average value residential property in 2026-27. The water infrastructure updates are also significant, as they follow years of countrywide water infrastructure neglect. As wastewater issues are seen across the country in recent weeks and months, Auckland Transport is looking to make infrastructure upgrades to avoid similar scenarios. This past week has also seen the government propose move-on orders for rough sleepers in cities across the country. The move-on orders have been criticised by some, who say they unnecessarily punish our most vulnerable populations. For City Counselling this week, News Director Castor spoke to Councillor Julie Ferry about each of these issues, beginning with the annual plan.
What are the Council's key goals with this annual plan for 2026 and 2027?
So the main thing with this annual plan is it's kind of the boring annual plan. This happens every 3 years. We have an annual plan that basically has happened just after the election. And if there hasn't been a lot of change at the election, it's basically a continuation of what was happening. There aren't a lot of big changes proposed, because every next year we do a big plan that's for 10 years. And so this is kind of the last year of that. It's sort of hard to explain, but it's kind of the last year of the first 3 years of the 10 years. That doesn't make sense. Anyway, it's a bit of more of the same, basically, this year. It's a continuation of what Council had committed to last term. We haven't had big political change at the election amongst the councillors or the mayor, and so it's a continuation. The big headline that will jump out at people, though, is the size of the rates increase, which is larger than I think we've had even during emergency budgets during COVID and the storms and all of that stuff. It's 7.9% proposed, which is large, and it's basically because the City Rail Link comes online in the next financial year. Later this year it will be operational, and so a whole lot of costs associated with owning and operating the City Rail Link start to need to be reflected in the rates. And it's not just the actual, that whole increase is not the cost of literally running the trains through the tunnels. Actually, most of it is actually the interest on the debt we are paying to build it in the first place. And we use debt for that stuff, so as to spread the burden of paying for it across the generations who will benefit from it. And then another large chunk of it is what's called depreciation, which again is a cost of owning. So it's about putting money aside to pay for the renewal of the asset when it comes due. So only a small portion of that 7.9% is actually running the trains, but the whole of it is about, okay, now we need to, with this amazing transformation, actually put it into the budget, into our operational budget, not just our capital budget. Hopefully that makes sense.
And I wanted to talk about the cause of the rates increase, right, the CRL. What does the opening of the CRL later this year signal for Auckland Transport moving forward?
So I think people are not necessarily understanding yet the transformational aspect of the City Rail Link. It's not just about having a couple more train stations in the city centre. It actually increases capacity right across the train system, even if you're in Pukekohe or Ranui. It also increases capacity for our buses, because people will take buses and then access the train lines. So for people, for example, on the North Shore using the Northern Busway, they will get off in downtown and get into that train system to access the rest of the region as well. So it's actually a big transformational shift for our public transport system. It's kind of like we're a grown-up city once this opens for those who've travelled overseas, but also what it means for the places that are getting the new stations is major urban renewal. So we're already seeing that around the Karanga Ahape station. I'm in the council building, which is just a diagonal across the road from Te Waihoro Tū station, which will regenerate Midtown. And of course the Mangawhau Mount Eden station, which is in my ward, has all these amazing development sites around it that will spring up with new buildings and open space and retail and residential, all sorts, over the next 10, 15 years. So there's, you know, two really big things for it. There's the urban renewal happening around the station, and then there's a massive increase in capacity that it provides for our whole public transport system. My advice to people is take a train now before the new system is in, and then take a train a year from now and you will see the difference, and it's going to be great.
And while the CRL opening is a big deal, you mentioned all of those benefits that we're going to see around the CBD and around outer suburbs as well. The plan was put forward, you know, in the 2010s, and Auckland has changed a lot since the plan has come in. And while the plan has evolved, we also see new transport needs popping up all the time. What are the plans after the CRL finishes, after the CRL development finishes, to develop our transport networks further?
So a lot of the next steps are actually around buses, but let's not forget that there's actually several new train stations coming to the Southern Line down in Drury. So if you catch a train now, you'll see in the there's a map of the train system, and it includes the Northern Busway as well, and you'll see that on the Southern Line schematic, there's a couple of new stations coming there. So that's coming later this year and next year as well. So we are adding to the train system. But the big new, northwestern busway is going to be, I mean, they're already building some of that. We had some briefing on that just last week. And in time, that will connect up and come all the way into the city from, you know, out sort of past Westgate, which is amazing. The eastern busway is getting closer to completion as well, which is sort of that Pakuranga through to Botany stretch. And also the Avondale Southdown rail line, which would follow the motorway from just by the Packenslave in Mount Albert, if people know where that is, through Onehunga down to the Southern Line and connect the Western and the Southern Lines for the trains. Kiwi Rail is coming out mid-year with some of their plans for where stations might be, what that line might look like. So it's actually, there's a lot of those big projects coming, but also we've been chipping away at increasing the frequency of existing bus services, increasing the capacity of the ones we're already running by shifting to double deckers, moving to electric. There's work happening with the ferries. There's work happening on active transport modes, particularly cycling, although not enough. So it's actually, you know, the city is really making a big transformation in the transport space. To, you know, when I was at uni, I had to catch a bus that was a 15-minute walk from my house that went once an hour, and it didn't run after about 10 o'clock at night. And it took me an hour to get to the city from Glenfield. And so when I reflect on that change in my lifetime, that's huge. But we're going to see even more change over the next 10 years, which is fantastic. As you can tell, I'm really excited.
The plan also has a lot of focus on our water infrastructure in Auckland. What do these upgrades to our water infrastructure look like, and why are they coming about now?
So the main reason they're coming about now is because of decades of neglect. And so water infrastructure, so you've got three types of water. You've got the water that falls from the sky, that's your stormwater, and when we don't do the infrastructure for stormwater right, that's when you get flooding. And obviously a lot of investment coming in that. But I think probably the ones you're more thinking about is the other two waters, which is your tap water, so you know when you turn the tap, you're drinking water, and also the wastewater, and so that's, you know, when you flush the toilet or the water that goes down the sink, whatever. So the wastewater, the Central Interceptor, which is a massive billion-dollar project that's been slowly building some massive tunnels underground through the western part of the isthmus, that completes later this year as well. And that will basically, what that will look like for people is not much at all, because it's all under the ground, and it's just been slowly working its way through basalt and all of this stuff. But what it will mean is that we can connect up more more housing in that area, because we'll have more capacity to take that wastewater through to the treatment plant at Mangere. And also it will mean fewer sewage overflows, and that ultimately end up in our beaches. So it will improve the water quality at our beaches, which will mean that you'll be able to swim there more. It's better for the streams that feed the beaches in terms of the aquatic life and the health of our streams and stuff like that. So it's part of the reason it's been underinvested in is because it's under the ground and people don't see it, and you can't really cut a ribbon on a tunnel that's full of poo, you know. So it's great to see that change in attitude. And the Central Interceptor, is sort of, that's one that's been talked about for 40 years, and it's really in the last 10 years that it's been able to get off the ground or under the ground and happening. And there's more of those that need to be built as well. I think it's the Northern Interceptor that would be next.
I want to talk about the move-on orders we've seen proposed for rough sleepers around the country. There's this narrative being pushed about rough sleepers disrupting customers and businesses in our CBDs. Is that consistent with what the council is hearing?
No. And I want to be really clear about this. I've been in some of the ministerial safety group meetings around this. The committee I chair has responsibility for homelessness. It's been very clear for some time now that we are talking about two different groups of people. And while I'm excited about transport, I'm really angry about the move-on orders. It's a real contrast. So we know that there are people doing antisocial stuff in the city centre and in other town centres who are intimidating people on the street, who are defecating or urinating in public, those kinds of things. And we know we have homelessness happening in our town centres. Actually, a lot of our homelessness is hidden, but that's the visible manifestation of it, right? And from my point of view, we should be ashamed that we have people who have to live in that way. I don't walk past people who are begging or who are homeless and think, oh, I wish I couldn't see them because they're doing something wrong. I wish I couldn't see them because they didn't need to be there. And there's been this really unhelpful conflation of what's happening here, when actually we know that the people who are rough sleeping are actually at risk of that antisocial behaviour, at risk of violence from a different group of people. That's been discussed repeatedly, including in those meetings with cabinet ministers, and I'm really angry that they have chosen to include rough sleeping and all forms of begging in the move-on orders, which are dubious anyway, because police actually already have the powers to do a lot of the things that government claim move-on orders are necessary to do. I have friends who were arrested at uni for public urination on pub crawls. That was, 30 years ago. So they've included breach of the peace, which breach of the peace is the original, the OG move-on order, right? It's existed for, probably centuries in British common law. And yet they're saying that they need to target the most vulnerable people, make them pay a $2,000 fine, which of course they can't pay, or they'll go to prison for 3 months. It's cruel.
That was Auckland Councillor Julie Ferry speaking to News Director Castor about the Council's annual plan and move-on orders for rough sleepers.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.